The President's Accidental Wife. Chapter 22. If push came to shove, she would go into hiding. It might not be a solution, but this could be the only way out. Her mom and dad had returned to their hometown in the countryside. So Mark could not use her parents to threaten her. Her headache had lessened, and she felt better now. She got out of bed and quickly packed up. She wasted no time in leaving the place. But before that, she had to go to school to hand over her task for the year-end exam. She hauled her suitcase and headed out to the school. Jazz yawned and stretched. He looked up and saw Mark coming out of the bedroom. Are you going to the office now?
Yeah.
What's up? Mark looked at him as he adjusted his iron gray tie. Mom came back last night. She asked us to go home in the morning. Let's go home first, and then the chauffeur will send you back to school. As Mark put on his suit, his brows furrowed as if something came to mind. When is the final exam? Jazz hemmed upon hearing the question. Tomorrow, he answered truthfully. How is your preparation?
Everything is fine.
I will not get the last place again this time, I guess. Jazz rubbed his nose. Mark nodded in satisfaction. He then hissed with a warning. Don't ever come back if you fail. Jazz knew that Mark was not joking. If he got the last place in this exam, he would be done for. I will not repeat the same mistake. Trust me, Jazz said. How old is Miss Hart, by the way? Mark asked absent-mindedly.
24.
Jazz was puzzled. His hand that held a file froze for a split second. He then picked up his coat and the car key from the coffee table. At 24 years old, she was young, 6 years younger than him.
What's up?
Isn't she young and talented? Jazz said proudly. But Mark stepped out of the hallway at once without even bothering to look at him. Jazz spun around and pursued.
Wait for me.
I will go with you. It did not take long before the black Land Rover came outside the villa of the Valentines. The two walked into the living room in tandem. When did you get engaged?
You didn't tell your brother and me.
Okay, I know. You guys be safe. While on the road, Yvette Angelo was on the phone when her two sons came home. She hung up, and her a smile broke out on her face. Aunt is engaged.
When was it?
Jazz looked shocked, his eyes cautiously sweeping over Mark beside him. He was afraid to look at Mark's expression. Mark froze in place, his lips pressed together, and his face looked grave with emotion surging inside him. Even blue veins popped up on his hand that held the file.
2 days ago, Yvette said with a frown, looking not too happy.
We all are family, but she didn't even inform us about her engagement.
Mom, did Aunt say anything else?
Jazz was trying to sound out if his aunt had ever mentioned Mark, the President's Accidental Wife. Chapter 23. She said she would be back with her fiancé in 2 days, Yvette said. Mark clenched the file in his hand and walked forward, his expression becoming normal again.
Where are you going, Mark?
Yvette looked at him from behind, wondering if he could still not forget Rain Valentine. He paused and turned around with his eyebrows raised.
The washroom.
Your aunt has something to say to you. It is time to settle down, you are not young anymore, Yvette said after eyeing him. Mark looked calm, not revealing his emotions.
Let me go to the washroom first, Mom.
As soon as he was inside the washroom, he forced his fist on the marble basin countertop, his eyes piercingly bitter. He sneered.
Damn you, Rain.
He took out his phone with his bruised hand. With that bitter smile on his face, he dialed the number that he had ingrained in his mind.
The call you have dialed is busy.
Please try again later.
The line was busy. He narrowed his eyes and threw his mobile phone on the basin countertop, then leaned against the wall, lit a cigarette, and took a few drags. The nicotine rushed down his throat and then spread into his lungs. He was not stupid, of course. He knew she hung up on him on purpose, not that she was really on the line. He fished out an exquisite diamond ring from his pants pocket. He glanced at it and then tossed it into the trash can. The diamond ring made no sound when it went into the trash can, just like his unruffled facial expression. "Since you have done this, you had better not appear in front of me again. Otherwise, I will definitely kill you." He walked out of the washroom as if nothing had happened before. "The mayor's daughter has already returned from abroad. I have seen her several times. She is beautiful and well-educated. Make yourself available to meet her tomorrow and make the marriage happen this time," Yvette said. Mark was flipping through the documents without looking up. "I have an important meeting tomorrow. I have no time for this. Your grandpa and grandma have also met the mayor's daughter before. They are very satisfied. Just make time for it and then get engaged," Yvette insisted. "Besides, your grandpa has said that if you refuse, he will have to use force. This marriage has been decided. He will come in 2 days to make sure the marriage goes on as planned. Your grandpa always means what he says, you know that. So get ready yourself. We will soon have the double celebration of your engagement and your aunt's soon-to-be wedding." Something billowed in his eyes. His knuckles that turned white gave away his emotions. After talking to the principal, Summer could finally breathe a sigh of relief. At first, she was worried that HE would disagree. But things had gone smoothly. The snobbish school principal was pretty easy to reason with, after all. Again, she hauled her suitcase along as she hurried out of the school. After just making 2 paces, her colleague, Sarah Davidson, stopped her. "Where are you going, Summer?" "I am going back to my hometown." Summer made up an excuse and went ahead. But this time, Sarah grabbed her arm. "I am introducing you to a guy. You have got to follow me to meet up with him now. I have bought my train ticket. Time is wasting. Talk later when I come back." She rejected and anxiously wanted to leave. The president's accidental wife. Chapter 24. "Come on, he is waiting in the coffee shop opposite our school right now. Just meet him for a while before you go." Saris pushed and brought her out of the school. Summer, who was being dragged along, was trying to find an excuse. "I haven't even washed my face yet, Saris. Look at my messy hair. I don't want to frighten him. It is fine. No one is going to know that if you don't tell. Let's go." Saris was a little chubby, almost twice the size of Summer. It looked as if she was taking a kid with her. Summer reluctantly followed her. "I will only show my face, and then I will have to leave, or I will miss the train. Deal?" So Saris brought her into a coffee shop opposite the school. A guy, about 28, medium built, an ordinary looking man, was sitting at the table by the window. As they walked over, and Saris introduced them to each other, the guy politely held out his hand. "Nice tea. Oh, meet you." Just as she was about to hold out hers, she saw in her peripheral vision a familiar looking black Land Rover pulling up outside the school across the street. She froze, her face turning pale in an instant. Her breathing became heavy. She thought of hiding, but HE had spotted her. They had eye to eye. It was too late to hide. Immediately afterward, he narrowed his eyes and walked towards the coffee shop. Summer's chest heaved violently, her hands on her side clenched into fists. "Why don't you sit down, Summer?" Saris looked at her in puzzlement when she saw Summer still standing there. There was no response from Summer. She seemed to have not heard Saris. "Summer." Befuddled, Saris shook Summer's arm. When Summer came out of her daze, Mark had come in front of her. "Follow me." Dressed in a suit, Mark had that dignity and elegance from the inside out, which seemed odd with this budget coffee house. Summer trembled slightly, her nails digging into the tender skin of her palms, trying to keep her face calm. "I have something on now." She wanted to buy herself time. She would run when there was an opportunity. Saris looked at the man standing in front of her, and it triggered her intuition as a matchmaker again. This guy was top-notch in terms of body build and appearance. He was the kind of high-quality man that she had never seen before in her life. "Summer, this is Dash." There was a light in Saris's eyes. "He is the guardian of my student," Summer said evasively. Mark's brows were knitted together. He had become impatient. But he still waited. "I am sorry, sir. Summer is seeing this nice man now. You may talk to her after this," Saris said. Cautiously, trying her best not to offend him, knowing that he was not some ordinary guy. Mark frowned. He now noticed the man sitting across the table. The young man stood up, looking a little nervous because of Mark's intimidating gaze. "Hello." Mark nodded in acknowledgement, with no expression on his face. He then looked at Summer again. "Don't you want to go?" The young man felt he had been snubbed. He looked at Saris. "Since Miss Hart is busy, we will meet another day. Do you mind giving me her number?" Summer told the man her phone number, and the man saved it in his phone, then politely excused himself and left. The President's Accidental Wife. Chapter 25. It was only right for Saris to leave now. But before that, she did not forget to encourage Summer and the young man to contact each other by phone to get to know each other better. So now Mark and Summer were the only people here. As always, Mark still had no expression on his face. "So this is what a blind date looks like, eh?" Summer said nothing, just biting her lip, waiting for her opportunity. "Did you leave your phone number to every man you met on a blind date?" Mark frowned and felt curious. She took a deep breath, as she could no longer stand this anymore. "I am going to the ladies' room." But Mark extended his hand to stop her and then glanced down at the luggage with his piercing eyes. "Why do you need to bring the luggage to the toilet?" She froze and did not want to pretend anymore. "I will not agree to an abortion. Absolutely no. Do you think you can defy me?" He threatened her. He hit the nail on the head. She lowered her eyes and gritted her teeth. "You are a bully." "Well, I am." Mark did not think it was a problem. He looked at her angry face. "You may bully me, though. Are you making fun of me?" Summer glared at him. She knew that not everyone could bully him, only those who were at his level. A wave of fury crashed through her, her face flushing as red as an apple. But Mark just looked at her. He then fished out a cigarette from the pack and lit it up. It shimmered brightly. "You really want the baby?" His question startled her. She had no clue why he suddenly asked this. She did not answer, just clasping her belly as she took a few steps back cautiously. Her action had apparently answered his question. Mark crushed the rest of the cigarette. There was a scary look in his eyes. "If you really want to keep this baby, marry me." This turn of the event came as a bolt from the blue. It knocked her down with a feather. She thought she had hallucinations. "WHWH, what did you say?" Mark's left eye squinted because of the smoke in the air. he then repeated himself. If you really want to keep this baby, marry me. She felt a clear sense of pain as she sank her nails into the tender skin of her palm. Are you kidding me? I have a meeting at 1 o'clock, a business gathering at 2, and a contract signing ceremony with an Athena multinational company at 3. Do you think I have time to stand here to make this joke? He frowned, his lips twitching as he stared at her. Indeed, he was a busy man. He would not have time to make such a joke with her. She took a deep breath. Mr. Valentine, are you sure you are mentally sound? What do you think? He asked back, wondering what made her think he was mad. He had the same expression on his face, just like any other day. It was precisely because of this that she was even more confused. She could not wrap her brain around his actions. She felt she needed to calm down and clear her mind. It must be either one of them who had gone mad. I need to go to the ladies' room to clear my mind. Just as she stepped out, Mark reached out his and grabbed her wrist, then pulled her toward him and looked her in the eyes. I am sober. So are you. You don't need to go to the ladies' room at all. Just answer yes or no. President 26. Chapter 26. Summer trembled when the warm palm of his hand touched her skin. It frightened her. She did not know what to do. Her racing heartbeat only calmed down after a long while. Why do you want to marry me? She spelled out her words. She was not an 18-year-old who still fantasized about a fairy tale relationship anymore. While he had power and money, yielding dominant influence in Santa Baca, she was just an ordinary teacher. Not to mention that they had only met 6 times. The only time they had an intimate encounter was the night when they got drunk and slept together. Had he been fascinated by her body since then? Absolutely impossible. She felt ridiculous just by thinking about it. So why did he want to marry her? There was silence for over 10 seconds, and the cigarette between his fingertips still shimmered. He then opened his mouth. I need a partner to marry. And you, whom I don't hate, are the best candidate. Looking at his penetrating eyes, Summer could see a faint sense of loneliness, and an indescribable complex emotion in him. When she tried to take a closer look, he let go of her hand. Think over it tonight and give me an answer by tomorrow. If you agree, we will register our marriage straight away. If you don't agree, I will not force you into it. But you will have got to go to the hospital. He looked calm, his voice low but succinct. Summer fell into silence. She really needed to think about it. And, he let his words hang for a second, then continued, never think about running away. It will just be a waste of energy. He left as soon as his voice trailed off, leaving her staring at him from behind. A day of escape attempts ended. Things came back to square one, and she got herself an expired train ticket. She hauled her luggage bag back to the school, feeling depressed the entire time. In the evening, she sat at the table with a bowl of chicken soup for dinner. She felt a crushing burden falling on her. Things had gone sideways, catching her unawares. She had thought about getting married, but marrying Mark Valentine had never been part of the plan. He was serious about the marriage, and she wanted to keep the baby. So it seemed that it was a match made in heaven. She was sipping on the chicken soup when his voice rang in her mind again. She felt as if she was imagining things. I need a partner to marry. And you, whom I don't hate, are the best candidate. She shook her head when she felt her heart galloping again. Marriage is so casual to him. As long as he doesn't hate me, he will marry me, she mumbled to herself. She thought she was simple enough. Her thinking was that it does not have to be a mutual affection, but at least there must be a feeling between two people. Apparently, his idea of marriage was much casual than hers. The complicated emotion in his eyes still perplexed her. But she could not tell what it was about. The next early morning, right at first light, in the icy wind, amid the rustling of the tree branches, salt grain like snow falling from the air added a touch of chilliness to the morning. A black Land Rover was parked outside the apartment. Cigarette butts were strewn on the ground beside the vehicle. It was apparent that the Land Rover had been waiting there for some time. Mark rested his left hand on the steering wheel, took out his mobile phone with his right hand, and dialed it. Chapter 27. The phone rang for a long while before a drowsy voice picked it up. "Hello. You have 5 minutes. Either you come down, or I go up," he frowned and said with a no-nonsense voice. He disliked waiting, but today was an exception. He had been waiting for over half an hour, and his patience had run out. Summer was jolted out of her sleep. She gasped in fright. How could it be him? 5 minutes. "If you agree, bring your things and come down quickly. If you disagree, we will go to the hospital. Now, there are still 4 minutes left," he reminded her again and hung up before she could say anything. He raised his eyebrows, wondering if he was really so frightening to her that she had to gasp in horror at hearing his voice. With 1 minute left, Summer appeared in front of the black Land Rover. She gritted her teeth and opened the car door. Her hair was pointing everywhere, and there was a stain on the corner of her mouth. Her appearance startled Mark, but just for a second. "Where's the fire? It is not like I will run away." She was grumpy. She had gotten little sleep last night. And she was woken up before the sky turned bright. You can't blame her for her crankiness. Another gust of chilly wind carrying salt grain like snow blew past. She shrank her neck in cold and quickly got into the back seat. "You seem to be not afraid of me now." Mark narrowed his eyes. "I have never been afraid of you. I just wanted nothing to do with you," she said matter-of-factly. He glanced at her and held out his hand. "Where is your social security card?" She really hated his commanding tone of voice and self-confidence, as if she was the prey in his hands, and she had no way to escape. With her brows knitted together, she looked at him and tried to provoke him. "What makes you think I will agree? How could you still sleep if you did not agree?" He squinted with his lips curling up slightly. He did not even have to make guesses as her emotions were written all over her face. He paused for a second before he continued. "Besides, you are so brazen-faced and show your temper in front of me." She could not find a word to respond. His beast-like, sharp gaze frightened her. With much reluctance and dissatisfaction, she handed her social security card to him. The black Land Rover started, backed out of the parking lot, and drove forward. Sitting in the back seat, she looked out the window with her hands clenched together. She was a little nervous and did not know what to do. She wondered if she was making the right choice. But since things had come to such a pass, why should she worry anymore? She would just have to roll with the punches and let tomorrow worry about itself. After the car had driven forward for a while, Mark glanced at her mouth. "Are you sure you want to go to the civil registry office like this?" "What do you mean like this?" "Only now that you think about my appearance. Don't you think it is too late?" she asked, not noticing the stain on her mouth. "Since you don't mind, I have no reason to say otherwise," he said in a low voice. Her overreactions did not affect him a bit. "What do you mean?" It was only now that she suspected something. He said not a word. With his left hand on the steering wheel, he tapped the overhead vanity mirror with his fingers of his right hand, motioning her to look up. She rolled her eyes at his strange behavior, and then suspiciously, she straightened up and looked at herself in the vanity mirror. Chapter 28. She instantly blushed, wishing the ground would swallow her up. Last night, after having her chicken soup, she was too exhausted and crashed out without cleaning herself up also, he threatened her in the early morning. She was afraid of waking her neighbors, so she hurried downstairs, not realizing. Turn the car around. She patted his seat from behind. What do you want to do? He smirked, asking the obvious. Going back to wash my face. She was almost whispering. You know what, Miss Hart, I don't mind at all. Just keep it this way. He did not plan to stop the car. Summer could not describe how embarrassed she was. Yet, she could do nothing about him except threaten him. If you don't turn around, I am not going to get out of the car at the civil registry office. Mark scanned the surroundings. He then swirled the car around and stopped on the opposite side of the road. Get out, he snapped. I want to go home. She looked at the surroundings and shook her head. Do you want to get out on your own, or do you want me to kick you out? He threatened her. I want to go home. She insisted. He had no choice but to get out of the car and go to the convenience store across the street. Minutes later, he returned with a bottle of mineral water in his hand. He unscrewed the cap and poured a small amount of water into the palm of his hand. He then wet his other hand, bent down slightly, and used his calloused fingers to wipe the stain off her mouth gently. She did not expect that he would do this. It stunned her for a while. She did not know how to react. He was just inches from her. His scent of a mature man mixed with the smell of nicotine was drowning her. She felt she could not breathe. When his rough fingers wiped across her mouth, she felt a sense of intimacy. Her cheeks were now as red as an Elmo doll. Her eyelashes flicked spontaneously as she looked up at him. He did not look at her but just wiped her mouth by feel, his black eyes seemingly so focused and gentle. That part of her heart softened like butter. His action tugged at her heartstrings, as if a rock hit the surface of the water. Just then, Mark got up but left his finger on her lips for a few seconds before removing it. He glanced down at her delicate face and noticed a red rubbing mark there. Her skin must be so delicate that it reddened at the touch of his finger. Nevertheless, her skin felt good to the touch. Do you still need me to turn around? He looked at her. Her eyes met his. She then looked away awkwardly. No need. She had softened her voice now. He glanced at her red cheeks with a faint smile of delight. The car continued to move forward. There was a silence in the cabin as neither of them said a word. Her face flared red, especially the part where he had wiped. Even her ears were red. When they arrived at the civil registry office, only three couples were waiting. It was probably still early. It did not take long before it was their turn. 1. Mark had that impenetrable expression that gave out none of his emotion. The pen in his hand flowed as he put down his signature. Chapter 29. After a moment of hesitation, as if she had been through a bloody struggle with herself, she lowered her head and solemnly put down her signature. This simple procedure changed their relationship tremendously. They went from slightly above strangers to becoming a couple who slept together. It was 8:30 a.m. when they left the civil registry office. The salt grain-like snow had turned into flakes, covering the ground in white. Cold air rushed into her nostrils as she took a deep breath. She could not help shivering. The temperature had dropped so low overnight. But the thought of her going from being single to married overnight made the changes in weather seem to be not much of a surprise. Many things could change overnight. While her mind ran wild, Mark was walking out of the civil registry office with two staff members. They followed him from behind and were very respectful when they spoke to him. Mark opened the car door and motioned for her to get in. She still could not get used to their relationship, and so she looked awkward. She pretended to look at the time and then made excuses. "It is 8:30. I have to rush to school. I know you must be very busy too. I will just take a taxi." "Get in the car," he snapped, frowning, as if he had not heard her. More people had arrived. Envy eyes were on Mark as people whispered among themselves. Mark was undoubtedly the most eye-catching person everywhere he went. Summer thought of her appearance and became self-conscious. She had not washed her face yet and was too embarrassed to keep standing here. So she bent over and flew into the back seat. Just then, his deep voice came. "Sit in the front. I am not your chauffeur, mind you." She gritted her teeth. "What is wrong with this guy that he wants to dictate where I should sit?" But she gave in. The car drove forward, smooth like a magic carpet. Mark looked over at her. "I have an important meeting in the afternoon. Go home and pack your belongings, and the secretary will fetch you over." She flustered, spontaneously shaking her head. "My parents haven't known about it yet. Let me tell them first, and then I will move in." 2. Things happened too suddenly that she was not mentally prepared for it. Thinking of having to live with him from now on, she was discomposed again. He looked at her for a few seconds, turned the steering wheel to the left to make a turn. His eyebrows were knitted together. "Neither have I told my parents. Make time these few days. We will go to your side first, then mine. It is better to let me do the talking." She couldn't agree more. He stopped the car outside the school. "My secretary will wait for you in front of your apartment in the afternoon. Can't I move in 2 more days? "Why? I have not prepared for it yet." She was truthful. He looked at her for a while, and then his eyes narrowed. "What kind of preparation, mentally or physically? What the heck?" Summer glared at him, her heart thumping. "Of course, mentally. So that means you are physically prepared." He was playing with her words in a matter-of-fact way. She felt heat spreading on her face. She gritted her teeth. "You are trapping me with words." Chapter 30. Yes. He sounded naughty. Teachers should know how to improvise and adapt. "I have full confidence in you, Miss Hart." "Who told you that a teacher should know how to improvise and adapt? Do you think I am a wild survivor?" she retorted irritably. "You really know a lot." He started the car and left. How could this man be so dictatorial? He never listens to others at all. She thought to herself with a frown. But then, she could not deny that he looked charming when he raised the corner of his mouth as he was leaving. Summer got off work and walked out of the school in the afternoon. A middle-aged man in a suit walked up and stopped her. "One." She frowned, wondering what this man was up to. When she was about to ask, the man spoke, "I am Billy Day, Mr. Valentine's secretary. He asked me to bring you to the apartment." No wonder. She could not refuse but to get into the car. She first returned home to pack her belongings. Only then she went to the apartment with Billy. It was an expensive apartment, large, but no one else was there. She was standing in the living room with her suitcase. Billy had left. One. She stood there, hesitating and falling into a daze. She was nervous because she was not used to living with a man. but she also knew that there was no escape. So she gritted her teeth and walked into the bedroom with the suitcase. Club Nightshade. The place was thumping with loud music, and men and women were moving their bodies to the crazy beat. Inside a private cubicle, Billy and Charlie stared unblinking at the man on the couch. Mark's suit jacket was placed on the couch. He was wearing only a black shirt with his sleeves rolled up to his elbows, revealing his muscular arms. He picked up a wine glass and knocked back. Holy smokes, this is Polish vodka. The alcohol concentration is 96%. Why hasn't he gotten drunk? Billy scratched his chin. I am more curious about how he got together with Miss Hart. They even got married. Charlie shrugged with amazement. As curious as I am about that, what beats me is that why is he drinking here on the first night of his marriage? Is he still thinking of his aunt? Mark's hand holding the wine glass stopped in midair for a fleeting second, and then it returned to normal, as if nothing had happened before. But Charlie's keen eye had noticed that. He nudged Billy with his shoulder and whispered, "Don't poke a wounded tiger, man." Realizing his blunder, Billy hemmed and shut up. 1.00 m. Probably because she was not used to the new environment, she could not sleep. So she sat on the sofa. Mark had not come home yet. She frowned, as she could not describe her feelings now. Just then, a knock on the door jolted her out of her thoughts and up from the sofa. Who could it be at this hour? Is it Mark? She went to open the door and saw Charlie and Bill holding Mark on each side. Judging by his condition, Mark was apparently drunk. Hello, Miss Hart. Billy let out a smile. Mr. Valentine went to a business meeting and got drunk.